This Two Lectures episode features editor, designer, and founder of Pictory, Laura Miner, sharing ideas on how to build stable communities for young people to help the fight against loneliness. Recorded live at the Global Event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2011.
Hello. So since we're in the UK, I'm going to start with a self-deprecating story. It only feels right. So a few years ago, I managed to convince myself that I had had a vision and discovered my life's calling. And I sort of walked around like I'd won the lottery for a week and told everyone who would listen, kind of shouted it from the rooftops. And here's what my friends and family did not say to me. They did not say, "Laura, you run a magazine. You're a good creative lead, but you don't know the first thing about running a summer camp." They did not say that. They were very nice about it. But regardless, within about a week, reality set in and I realized I never worked at a camp. I was never a camp counselor. I don't know how to like tie fancy knots and rope or what to do about a snake bite or how to tell a rope from a snake. I mean, I don't know the first thing about it. But luckily, I really like doing editorial and design, so I just kind of enjoyed my day job and didn't think too much about it. So at the time I was working for JPEG magazine. Probably most of you have not heard of this, but my mom read every issue cover to cover. It was a startup in San Francisco and a very fun sort of community-driven photography magazine. It did go under when the economic collapse happened, and that sort of fed directly into starting my site Pictory, which you probably have also not heard of, and my mom doesn't read because it's on the internet. But it's a collection. It's sort of where I try to be the Ira Glass of the photo essay. Do you guys know who Ira Glass is? Is that a reference that works? Okay. A little bit. One or two. This American Life. Okay. Anyway, their personal stories say my first theme was overseas and overwhelmed, and people submitted a single captioned photo about a story of culture shock that they had had. And so what I do is I sort of go back and forth with the contributor and edit their stories with them and select the best and curate them into an online magazine that tells really emotional stories, sort of like very heartfelt, true stories. And this is actually usually what people ask me to talk about often at journalism conferences. But we're at Do. I'm going to talk about something different. I'm going to talk about something new. Something else I've been doing over the last couple of years, while I was sitting in my home office alone in a dark room working on Pictory, designing Pictory and getting that ready, I sort of got to thinking about all the young, talented photographers who I knew through JPEG and got to thinking, what if Steph met Paul, met Kevin, and what if all these people were in the same room at the same time? Like, I wonder what would happen. So I did the only logical thing and invited 80 strangers to a state park in California. And I know what you're thinking. Yes, I did think that I might get murdered in the woods. But spoiler alert, I'm here now, so nothing went wrong. Despite, you can't see that really, but this is a stage shot where we pretended that we were running from a bear or a murderer or something. So the idea was kind of inspired by Foo Camp. Are you guys familiar with Foo Camp? See, I can tell you about all these cool things you don't know about. This is great. So it's Friends of O'Reilly. There's O'Reilly Publishing, which is a big mover and shaker in the tech world in the States, especially in the Bay Area. So Tim O'Reilly and some of his compadres started this thing called Foo Camp, F-O-O, where the best and brightest from tech come, and it's an attendee-led conference, meaning people write, "I want to talk about this. I want to talk." I was lucky enough to go to a journalism one, and someone wrote, like, "Why do we need journalism?" And it was a big discussion about that, and everyone could just sort of lead their own. So I did the same thing with my 20 people came from all over the world to my little Foo Camp in the woods, and it was the same kind of thing. So Kevin Meredith, or Lomo Kev, he's a Brit. You guys don't know him? He's like the most famous Flickr photographer.
I do.
All right, thank you. So.
My brother.
So Lomo Kev came and did a Lomo workshop, you know, where we did a scavenger hunt with Lomo cameras, and someone else led a time lapse, you know, sort of like a stop motion project together, and so it was just kind of 48 hours of that kind of workshopping, and it was a lot of work. I definitely related to the intro speakers talking about exactly how much work it is. But a sponsor talked me into doing it again the second year. You can see the tableau a little bit better. We do a group shot every year that's in some sort of crazy tableau. And this is, oh, Ryan Schutte and Lauren Lemon. I have the photo credit wrong. It was a collaboration. Anyway, but so a sponsor talked me into doing it again. And just like they were saying, these things build up upon themselves. These communities sort of grow exponentially and people get more comfortable. And it's just sort of amazing to see like the friendships that come out of it and the collaborations that come out of it. People just grow together really over this time. I'm sure that Do Lectures has seen the same thing. Did one in Texas this year. That was a lot of fun. Marfa, Texas is an amazing little corner of the earth. And then I actually joined up with some friends in the sustainable food industry in San Francisco, and we started one called Eat Retreat this year too. And what it is a group of leaders in the food community. So we had people who run, a farmer's market in New Orleans, and someone from James Beard, and someone from Food Spotting, and chefs and food stylists and all kinds of interesting people together. And there was a wild boar hunt that was unsuccessful, and yogurt making and all kinds of, again, attendee-led, but really interesting stuff. And the thing that these four events have in common is that they're all about learning by doing and learning from your peers. I realize the irony of saying this right now, but I'm not the best at getting the most from sitting and listening to someone talk at the front of the room. And so doing things like the awesome activities that we have here, I think are a great alternate way to learn for those of us with, unfortunately, very short attention spans. Another thing that all these four events had in common is that they were very flat hierarchically, meaning there were no instructors and no interns. Everyone just came. Sometimes it's a little hard to see the forest for the trees in your own life, but I realized a few months ago, kind of with a start, I might be back on that summer camp path. Like, what happened here? I'm still doing editorial and design, but I could very well, if I keep doing these things, maybe someday dream about having a place like Forest Farm, which would just be incredible. Like, I could end up back on that path. I don't even know how I got back on that path, but it could be. And it could not be, too. I'm not really sure. Like, right now, I'm just really enjoying learning everything I can. I'm so excited to be here and watching. And I can't stop thinking about the little details that you mentioned, because after you've run something like this, you can really appreciate the amazing job that everyone has done. And I've also been reading everything I can. This was a little bit of an impulse purchase from Etsy. It's a book on camp counseling from 1950. Which I just thought, frankly, was kind of cute. But I realized quickly that this book was amazing, and that it's about life as much as it's about camp. And I realized that when I found this quote. It's from a chapter about what makes a good camp counselor. That youthfulness of spirit must be retained, which keeps one perennially curious and craving the new, so that regardless of passing birthdays, one can still enjoy wading in a babbling brook, hunting the hiding place of a frog, or digging for pirate's gold with his campers. Or having a canoe adventure this morning, apparently. But this was just such a great putting into words of something I try and keep strong in myself and something I try and encourage in other people through my events. I just thought that was such a beautiful way to put that into words. Something else really interesting from this book, she talks about the history of the summer camp movement and how it really grew out of the tail end of the homesteading and pioneer movements in the U.S. So as people were moving to the cities for jobs and really leaving the rural areas, they still wanted to use their hands to make their own curtains. Like, the arts and crafts came out of, you know, making your own rugs and growing your own vegetables. A lot of the stuff, the curriculum, if you will, of camps today comes out of the homesteading movement and directly from that. And I think this is really relevant to us now because we still have people moving from the farms to the cities, but we also have people spending a lot of time behind screens, whether they're TVs or computers or iPhones or iPads or whatever. We've really changed our lifestyles very quickly. And so I think not only are those skills of self-sufficiency, like making your own curtains or making your own bread or growing your own vegetables, still really important, I think we can also get a lot of value now out of coming together for those skills of community, of sitting on a long table eating dinner with people you didn't know before dinner, or sitting around a fire. So I think it's just as important for that. So on that topic of internet friends and sort of like living behind a screen, and people talk a lot about how we only Facebook each other these days, nobody picks up a phone, you know, you don't see each other as much in person. And I can agree with that. Just like I just said, I think it's great to get in person and be sitting at a community table or to be sitting around a fire. But I do think there's actually a lot of value out of the internet friendships as well. I'm active on Flickr, and I comment on blogs and blog myself and very active online. And I've made a lot of friends through shared passions and through the internet. And I'm guessing that a lot of you guys feel the same way, that there's at least a few people who you met through an online way, like maybe they're colleagues or people in your industry who you admire. And I've noticed there's something really special about getting those people into the same room together, because there's so much automatic background and understanding of each other's lives. And then I also like to use tools, like I use Facebook groups with my retreaters before and after. I still keep it around 30 people. I cap it around 30 people for Eat Retreat and Foot Camp. But I'll invite them all to the group, and someone will say, oh, hey, I think I'm going to get together this cattle wrestling opportunity for while we're in Texas, which happened. And or after the fact, people stay in touch with that too, or someone will say, from Eat Retreat, I'm trying to figure out how to make my own sea salt. How do you know which Bay Area beaches are safe to consume the water? That kind of thing. And I noticed that Do Lectures uses Lanyard, so I think there's all kinds of cool technology. So in short, what I'm saying is real-life friendship is greater than internet friendship, but I believe that internet friendship plus real-life friendship can be stronger than just real-life friendship. And I think it doesn't have to be a negative. So it's interesting, these sort of events are kind of little petri dishes for social interaction. I'm sure you guys have noticed that already, sort of the social dynamics of the first day. And like they were saying, it is a little, everyone's a little nervous the first day, and you just kind of get into a flow. And I've noticed over these events that the starter culture that the organizers bring into it, that I've brought into mine, makes such a huge difference. And if you start with a lot of warmth, like for example, with the first food camp, I said, please come sleep on my couch if you need to, like before or after the event, like depending on your flights. And then when we showed up, people would say, oh, please use my tripod. Please use my $2,000 lens. Like, oh, and I brought this film for everyone to use. And if you start that culture of just warmth and kindness, which of course the Do team is really great at, it just spreads so quickly. And also with that, though, tiny little piece of advice. I've noticed that complaining spreads just as quickly. And I know we're all human and et cetera, but really try not to complain, because that spreads just as quickly as the positive culture. And I also think that in order to have a really good time, you have to be uncomfortable at least part of it. Like, it can't be too cushy. Another thing, I find that my campers who ask, what can I bring to this situation, inevitably get the most and the best experiences out of it. For example, one of my Eat Retreaters said, hey, Laura, can I letterpress notebooks with each camper's name on it for each attendee and bring them along with some grappa and that my uncle made and some sausages? And like I said, the cattle wrestling thing, yeah, this guy organized with these cowboys in West Texas for us to get up at 5 a.m. and like actually move cattle. And those people, you know, they didn't feel like, well, I put in more. They felt great about it. And that's one of those paradoxes of life, is that the more you give, the less you think about what you need to take. So you've probably figured out by now that really all of these rules are not so much about camp, but about just life in general and about social dynamics. And maybe this sounds like my little do. You know, we were supposed to say a little do of our goals for you and a big do of our goals for ourselves. But I actually have a different little do. And I bet you think you know what my big do is, given the way I started the talk. But it's actually not. Like, I might end up with a summer camp, and that would be great. But I might do something totally different, and I'm okay with that, too. But I think what I realized that my actual real-life calling is, is to create stable communities of people with shared passion. I want to catalyze people. That's my calling. That's what I want to do. And just seeing, like with Eat Retreat, that happened in April. And by June, one of the attendees had mentored another one through the process of starting a sustainable seafood CSA subscription service for the Bay Area that not only is getting more people eating seafood, but is supporting the sustainable seafood industry and keeping things moving. And the fact that that happened within 2 months blew my mind. And out of Food Camp too, just there are like roommates that came out of this, and people go on long trips together and do giant commercial projects together and tiny goofy projects together. So my little do for you guys is to join me in catalyzing people. So when you get home, throw a dinner party. Just make sure, invite someone you don't know or that you only know through the internet or who you admire. And make sure you get people who will be interesting to each other but don't know each other. And, you know, it could be a picnic, it could be a happy hour, anything. But I feel really strongly that there's such like limits to my own intelligence and talent, but there's really no limit to what you can do when you bring other people together. It's just so rewarding and so interesting. One more little do, which is if you're ever in San Francisco, look me up. Maybe I'll get together a picnic of some people you find interesting. And maybe if I come to your town, you'll do the same for me. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or, if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out. For our weekly curation of wonder and optimism, sign up to our newsletter by visiting thedolectures.com/newsletter.